Rory, I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, just to give us a sample, because Woman in the Making, which is your story and your memoir, I think it's beautifully written. And for everyone who can remember some of these periods and have gone through it. But I was very captured also by this story of your aunt. So maybe just read a little bit from your own words.
Yes, I'll do my best. But Glamour came to our house once every few years in the shape of Auntie Cuey, my mother's younger sister. She even had a glamorous name, Columba, which everyone shortened to Q or Cuey for some reason. Auntie Cuey. She was gorgeous. She had this rich, husky voice redolent of Katharine Hepburn's. She had wanted to be an actress and did a bit on radio, but mostly she was just beautiful. 7 different men proposed to her, and in fact, my mother met my father when he came to the house to take Auntie Cuey out. But Auntie Cuey said no to all of her suitors until a wealthy American, an ex-naval officer, proposed. He was 25 years her senior, but he was dashing and exciting, and in grey 1950s Ireland, he was in Technicolor, and he took her to America. In 1970s Ireland, America still retained a sense of real glamour. It was this faraway exotic place we'd probably never see, where Mary Tyler Moore and Charlie's Angels lived with giant refrigerators and bouncing hair. Auntie Cuey would arrive home with her husky drawl in a swirl of beige pantsuits and menthol cigarettes. Cigarettes with mint in them, and the glamour would almost knock me over. She'd smoke and drawl and sing, "I'm a woman," and her bracelets would clank as she'd take out gifts wrapped like they were in American movies, with shiny paper and glittery bows, and inside we'd discover new and amazing things. Pez dispensers, magic tricks, a jumper with a hood on it. America had everything. We'd never seen the like. The whole town was talking about us and our jumpers with the hoods on them. All the other kids wanted to have an Auntie Cuey. I wanted to be Auntie Cuey. She was like no one else I had ever met. She was exotic and glamorous and different. She was like a character from a movie, a 3D emissary from a 2D world that I'd only ever seen on screen or in books. But she was flesh and blood, undeniable, tangible evidence of a big world out there, somewhere past Roscommon. I feverishly imagined this other world and fevered to be part of it, this bigger, brighter world full of new and different things, exciting and full of possibilities, where people wore jumpers with hoods on them.